All right, we're at EMC World 2016, and John Siegel joins us. He's VP Product Marketing with VCE. John, thanks for coming in.
Brian, it's always a pleasure.
I knew it would be. So tell us a little bit about your new role with VCE.
Sure.
and how that sits within the broader EMC ecosystem.
Yeah, sure thing. So my new role is heading up really product marketing for VCE, and it's been a really interesting transition because I came over from the primary storage side. And now what I'm helping customers with is trying to make that, you know, buy versus build decision. As customers more and more now want to, IT in particular, wants to start moving up the stack and provide more value to the business, you know, how can they do that? And is it make more sense for them to build, or does it make more sense for them to buy or consume? And then where do you draw that line, right? Do you draw that line at the infrastructure, or where in the stack do you draw that line?
So there's a broad set of offerings within the VCE family. Some of it we know. We've been playing with Scale.io for a little while. You know, recently, Unext, VxRail, and you've got some new stuff going on there. Let's talk about Rail and what you're doing there.
Sure. So VxRail, we actually announced back in mid-February. First of all, I would say that in the first 45 days of availability, we can't keep up with demand. I mean, literally, one of the biggest challenges we're having right now is keeping up with demand. And we're really excited. So for VxRail, for those that don't know, is a hyperconverged appliance that we pre-engineered, we being EMC and VCE, with VMware. So what it really does is it blends and pre-integrates, if you will, VMware's hyperconverged software with EMC's hyperconverged, you know, appliance and storage. We've given customers customers that have standardized on VMware and VMware tools and technologies, we think we've given them the easiest way now to deploy IT.
So Rail is not the first attempt in the market to solve these problems. Why do you think VxRail is getting it done now in ways that maybe you didn't even expect in terms of demand versus the products that have been there before, either prior iterations or...
Yeah.
Even vSAN to some extent. I mean, this
sure.
is a little bit different than vSAN.
Well, it leverages vSAN,
sure.
right, within the integrated solution. I would say, you know, several reasons. One is choice. I think, we learned from our initial stabs at this, and what customers told us time and time again is they want a choice. They want a choice in terms of the types of configurations that they could deploy. And we've done that. So we provided a number of different options for them in terms of how they can deploy VxRail hybrid configurations to now the new all-flash configurations that are we announced this week to different deployment models. So first it came down to certainly choice. Another one was making it really simple to support, right? A lot of our customers asked for, you know, when it comes to an appliance, how can you make it so that it's really easy to support? And so what we've done now is we have a single support, if you will, mechanism for VxRail, right? So customers essentially call one number, and that number handles all issues and all concerns. So that was another one that we think is really providing a lot of value to our customers. Also, you know, a lot of flexibility down the road as well, ensuring that we integrate, our customers wanted something that integrates with their existing tools and didn't want to have to learn something new. So what we've done here with this is allowed our customers and prospects to take advantage of the VMware, for example, management tools they already have and know, and basically leverage those to manage the VxRail. And so that's been really well received as well.
Okay, so as we look at the VCE portfolio and move a little bit higher up the stack, you've got VxRack systems, we already mentioned the Scale.io config that we've been playing with, but there's more there, and you've got some announcements around OpenStack and open source support.
Sure.
So give us the update on those.
Yeah, so first of all, VxRack systems essentially are for customers that it's our next, it's taking hyperconverged and making it available at rack scale for data center deployments. So where VxRail is typically deployed at small and medium enterprises and the edge of the enterprise, if you will, what VxRack is about, the VxRack System 1000, is about helping customers deploy hyperconverged at scale in a data center. And that means deploying it for not just traditional applications like Platform 2 applications, which they can do with scale I/O based technologies such as our Flex nodes. Or they can, for customers, by the way, that have also, again, standardized on VMware and want to do that at scale in the data center, they can use our software-defined SDDC nodes. And then new this week is the ability to, that you just alluded to, is now to essentially offer the capability for customers to run Platform 3 workloads, if you will, on top of a VxRack System 1000. And what the way we've done that is through something called the software-defined Neutrino nodes. What that does is makes the world of the complexity of open source much simpler to deploy. And what we find is that in Platform 3 world, or you know, cloud-native applications, more and more customers are looking to deploy that on open source technologies. That said, deploying open source technologies like OpenStack can be really, really hard. We've talked to customers that take months, you know, to years to try to get, 18 months, I've talked to some customers, to try to get it up and running in a cloud based on OpenStack. And once they do, they got to hope and pray that the resources that built it are still going to be there when they actually have to continue to upgrade it and keep it going. And that's hard to do too. Upgrades is very hard to do in an open source world. So what we've done is we've provided the easy button for customers that want to deploy a infrastructure as a service, you know, based on OpenStack. Or eventually over time, Photon and other areas like Apache Hadoop as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because we always hear about the poster children of born in the cloud apps, and Uber is always the one that gets thrown out there, and many, many others. When you think about that and the success that some of those guys have had in the cloud, and bumpy or otherwise, right, the enterprise... traditional enterprise has a whole another set of challenges. A lot of them are being pressured by forces like Amazon saying, oh, you can just move your stuff here and it'll be great.
Right.
And maybe it is great, and maybe they've tried it, but then they find out it's expensive, or maybe it doesn't work out well, and they start to pull some of those things back. And that's where we've heard a lot of customers saying, an OpenStack deployment here, for instance, makes a lot of sense, but it's challenging. And you know, to the extent that you're trying to facilitate those migrations to open source, what, beyond just the sheer difficulty, what are the other considerations there that the mainstream enterprise is thinking about?
So in terms of deploying OpenStack in general, or?
Just, deployment and management, and what are some of those other issues at play?
I think if we take a step back for a moment, I think a lot of our customers right now have this digital agenda, right? I mean, they literally want to figure out how do they start to deploy more, you know, unique applications that can differentiate their businesses. And what they're finding is that, and to your point, IT is under a lot of pressure now, because what they need to do is they need to provide resources, you know, infrastructure as a resource available to the developers so they can develop applications really fast. And it's been really hard. And so, as you know, speed is of the essence. So these developers are saying, well, I could go internal or I could go to the public cloud. And so that's what we're finding a lot of, is that a lot of our customers are going, you know, they're finding that their developers, for example, are going around them to the public cloud. And so I think that one of the big challenges is how do they provide an easier, faster, low-risk way for their end users and developers to deploy new applications, internally on internal infrastructure. That's the big challenge, I think, right now, is how do they provide speed, and how do they provide more value back to the business? I think that IT teams, the ones I talk to, have become a little more introspective. They start to take a look and say, well, you know, how can they provide the most value back to the business? Is that actually building infrastructure, or is that providing, you know, infrastructure as a service so that they can start to, you know, again, start to provide value higher up the stack, so that it's easier to prove their value back to the business?
Well, you're getting them to think more like a service provider.
Exactly.
And treating their constituents as clients and being more available that way. Is that just a big enterprise problem, or does anything that you're learning there from your customers translate further down the road to smaller organizations?
I think it's small organizations. I think it's all similar. I mean, again, it's a different scale. You will find that some large organizations might try to invest in, for example, open source deployments because maybe they have the luxury of some investments in that area. But the reality is, I think across small, medium, and large businesses right now, IT is strained, right? And I don't think, you know, and every single case, they're looking to do more with who they have, with what they have. And in small businesses, they typically get small IT teams that are trying to basically manage the entire stack. So they're all looking for ways to provide the best way to provide IT as a service is if they can provide better collaboration amongst the different silos of IT, right? The network, compute, storage. It's really hard when everyone's in a different page. So I think part of what they want to do is provide a single page, single book, you know, a single script, if you will, playbook for how to deploy infrastructure as a service. And the way to do that, you know, is through, I think, hyperconverged or converged. And I think that's regardless of the size of company. Now, smaller companies may want to do it at smaller scale. They maybe don't need the level of integrated networking and things like that at scale, right, that maybe larger enterprises might want to have. But I think it's the same challenges, the same issues, which is not a lot of resources. We get, you know, some unhappy customers, unhappy internal customers. How do we make them happier, right?
So I don't want to ignore VBlock. That's also another offering within the VCE portfolio. And you guys were very quick to roll out a Unity version.
Yes.
And we were talking before about the speed at which VCE has been able to roll out some of these new products. Talk to us about that and what else is going on in VBlock.
Absolutely. So VBlock is our converged infrastructure offering. And as you know, a number of banks and telcos and others are now running their business on converged infrastructure like VBlocks or VXBlocks. What we provide is choice when it comes to VXBlocks and VBlocks, and that means customers that want to, and it could be different types of all-flash storage, if you will, inside, right? Everything from VMAX all-flash to Extreme IO all-flash, obviously, as well as the new Unity, which is mid-range. So we're providing customers choice within VBlocks, and so we're really, really, really happy to announce the same day that Unity is available as a standalone offer. It's also available as part of a VBlock as well.
Well, let me ask you about the choice, because choice is great, but you offer so many different flavors of these things, like you just mentioned with Unity and Extreme and VMAX. What are you guys having to do in terms of education for your customers to help them sort of filter through these possible avenues to really understand what their business pain is, or their storage pain, or the infrastructure pain, and how you match up with that? You have a giant flow chart where you answer questions like a choose your own mystery, or how does that work out?
Yeah, it's a very much a consultative selling process, as you know. we have some products that are more of a transactional type of selling process where things like, you know, our appliances are kind of fit that mode. But when you get into the higher end, if you will, offerings, it's a very much a consultative process. We really do step back and try to understand customers' businesses. We just try to understand, what are you trying to achieve? What types of workloads are you running? Where are you going to be 2 to 3 to 5 years from now? Based on those types of discussions, we figure out what the best solution is. We really don't lead with product. We don't. I mean, you know that. So we lead with having a consultative business level discussion with them. And then we end up, you know, solving their problem through a number of these products that we discussed today.
So I haven't seen the expo hall yet. I assume there's several VCE demos and things out there for the customers to see. As they start milling around and looking and touching and, you know, pulling drives on these things, there's always seems to be a certain degree of excitement around the new products and as they investigate. How much do your customers, for VC specifically, really get into the technology and the components and that sort of thing? Do they care about that, or is that something that the VC customer, once you roll that up into a nice package, they care more about the end solution than the underlying components?
It's a great question. I think it depends on who we're talking to. I think more and more the change agents within IT today, They do want to do the due diligence, right? So every customer is going to do the due diligence when it comes to converged or hyperconverged infrastructure, and that means understanding not just the what it does, but the how it does it. So we still have those level of discussions with customers, absolutely. I would just say that where that's getting simpler and simpler is around hyperconverged, right? So because hyperconverged, you have fewer components. I mean, you're talking software defined. It becomes a simpler discussion with customers. more than anything else. But they absolutely like to see what's under the covers and play around. In fact, if you go to the expo, for those that do, I mean, yeah, we've got you can touch and poke at all of our offerings. VX Rail, for example, you can pull out flash drives, the new ones we have today, and the new compute that we have. Same thing with VX Rack and VBlock. So there's plenty of that opportunity, and then also to deep dive on the UI and the software behind that.
I think you just made a grave mistake encouraging Kevin to go there and pull all your systems apart, which he now certainly will do. So
I did not say they're all running in production, did I? But that's a good point, Kevin. Well, and like we said, we appreciate all your support, and absolutely would love to take the opportunity to get, for example, our VX Rail appliances and others in your hands, so that you can demonstrate to the world what we think is.
We'll do it. The lab is always ready and waiting. All right, John, thanks for your time. I know you've got a busy day, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for the time.